To Luke chapter 10 once again, Luke chapter 10, and I'm going to start off here first with bringing you up to speed. This past Wednesday, Brother Anthony Gomez had his cancer surgery and had some interactions with him since then. Last night he was doing really roughly back. He got to go home and the pain was enormous, and so I was encouraging him to take some more of his pain meds, because sometimes when you just got out of surgery a few days earlier, sometimes you lose track. And I was thinking, boy, that much pain. And so he did that right away and told him to write it down. I said, write it down on a little piece of paper. You know how often you're doing that. And so, but he appreciates everyone's prayer. You know, he's just saying, Pastor Bob, I just don't want to lose my joy in Christ. I want to have joy in the good times and in the bad. And so he's a really wonderful Christian brother. And I also want to ask you to continue to pray for this lady in Dallas that Mark and Gina O'Brien and I have been trying to bring to faith in Christ. She's just on her last days now with cancer. She's, I suppose she's about, in her 50s, and that she's, having a very, very difficult time here at the end. And we've been praying and trying to get in there. Mark and Gina did get a chance to interact with her. I went over to her house twice and never got a chance to talk with her personally. But so I'm just praying that the Lord will just grab a hold of her and put the fear of God in her, so that at the end she might cry out to the Lord in faith and trust in Him for eternal life, because it's getting very close. So pray for her as well. Her name is Lorinda. And so before we read the scripture, I want to start off with a short story. And I think that many of you, whether it's been in a car trip or a boat trip or a bus trip or a plane trip, whether it's been in the United States, Canada, Mexico, or to Europe or Africa or wherever you might have traveled, I never flew on a plane till my honeymoon. I mean, I went 21 years without being on a plane and really never went on a vacation. You say, do what? I said, yeah, I've told you about that before. You know, my dad, in our house, when my dad said he's on vacation, we were like trying to find a hiding place in the house so we wouldn't have to work for 7 days straight. But then when I got married, I found out that other people, actually, vacation is a delightful thing and they enjoy going on them. So anyway, but if you ever gone on a trip somewhere, and years back, Kelly and I were blessed with a trip to Italy by Kelly's doctors in her office that she worked for. She had an anniversary, and so she sent Kelly and I, they sent Kelly and I and the girls on a trip to Italy. It was wonderful. I mean, it was the trip of a lifetime. Now, let me just tell you this: if you've never gone and you think like the beds are the hotel rooms are going to be like in America, no. Unless you have like $5,000 a night to put out. You go in the bedroom and you think you're in a closet. You walk in a room and you're like on the sides of the beds trying to, you got about 4 inches between the wall and the bed. They're very small. And I thought it was an anomaly in the first place we were at. It wasn't an anomaly. It wasn't a weird situation. That's all. They're all there, unless you're going to, if you're, Jerry Jones, and you could buy the best room in the city, well, then you get room that's more like Motel 6. I'm just kidding. It's much better. But if you're going on a trip to a foreign country, a trip in America, Canada, wherever you go, especially if you go to a foreign country, you're going to need, I don't think it is true of Canada and Mexico because we're together here. But if you go to Europe, well, we had to go get visas. So that's a big deal. You got to go get the visa, and you got to go through all the steps to get the visa. Because when you go to Germany, there's a guy standing there in what's called customs. And you walk up to him, I'm walking up to him, visa please, okay? I'm sitting there, and he's staring at me. Because he wants to know, is he going to let me in the country or not? And I'm just like, okay. And then he's like, staring, and I'm like, did I do something? And so anyway, that was the first time I went through customs. And so you have to have a visa. You have to, if you're flying rather than you're driving, you got to get airline tickets, right? So you got to go through that, get your airline tickets. And then you're going to need to figure out how you're going to get to and from the airport. Either you're going to have to leave your car there, and that costs you the same amount as the entire trip costs, or you get somebody to haul you, okay? Or if you have a dog, you have to find someone. You got a list of things. You got to find somebody to watch your dog. If you have an old dog like we do, you have to find somebody that's got a medical license, a doc. They have the MD degree, because you know they got to give them special pills at the right time, and they got to give them special food, and you know you got to do this, and then you got to give them a shot of insulin at this time. You know, like, man, I'm like, my dog is like, you and I talked about her last week, you know, she's like a handful, you know, we're constantly, and you know, we're making her special, all these things, okay, and so you got to give that information to the caretaker. Then you're going to need to make hotel reservations, okay, in the different cities you're going to be staying. If you go to Italy, if you're going to go from Florence to, Kelly, what's the river city? Okay, if you're going to go from Venice to Florence to Rome, you don't get there. You got to take a train. So you got to get train tickets. Okay, so you got to worry about getting those and you line that up and all that. And then other things, for sure, you should have a list of the things you're going to take. Okay, what do I need to take? Okay, I got a list. Shoes. I got to take clothes. I've got to take contacts. I got to take contact solution. I got to take contact case. I got to take extra contacts. I've got to take, okay, so I've got all this list. Sunscreen and shampoo and brushes, combs, sunglasses. You got this list, because if you forget one of them, you're in that other place and it's, you know, bright and sunny. Like, I forgot my sunglasses. They're right on the list. I didn't even look at it. Okay, and so you got to keep that list and make sure you got it, all the things you need. All right? Okay, and then on top of that, you need to limit how many bags. Now, this is from a recent trip Kelly and I took. My suitcases there on the top, and those below it are Kelly's. But you've got a limit. You've got a limit. She knew that was coming. Anyway, you've got to limit the number of bags that you take, because American Airlines says you could only take so many bags, or then you've got to fork over money if you take more than one bag sometimes. And sometimes you got to fork over money if you're going to. By the way, those are just Kelly's carry-ons. These aren't the ones that went underneath. So anyway, these are in the overhead bins. And so anyway, so then once you got to figure out whether you're going to get charged for all these bags, then what you have to do finally is pack. Ugh. And so you got to pack and everything. But you're going to spend hours and hours preparing, getting the reservations, getting the bags packed, getting it all ready. But then it's time for you to go on the trip, and hopefully it'll be delightful. Hopefully you haven't overpacked where, you know, it gets kind of rough, you know, and you're having to get those bags and unpack them and pack them up and go, you know. Hopefully you've packed lightly enough. You know, you can't leave everything at home, or can you? You can't leave everything at home, and so you got to do some packing, and you'll enjoy your vacation and the beautiful sights that you look forward to seeing, and so much more. Well, over the last several weeks, we've been studying two passages. We've been studying about the first mission trip in Luke chapter 9 with the 12. Jesus sent his apostles out on a mission, two by two. So there were six groups of apostles going out to go to Israel and say, the kingdom of God is upon you. The Messiah is about to set his kingdom on earth up, if you'll receive it. Okay? Then you get to Luke chapter 10, as we saw, and now it's not just the 12, now it's 70, or in some Bibles, 72, depending on what Greek text. Some of the Greek texts use 72, and some say 70. It's just a minor difference. It's nothing to worry about. But nonetheless, Jesus is talking to the 70 or 72, and he's sending them on the journey. And like American Airlines does, he tells these 70 disciples, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you what not. I'm going to tell you what not to take on the journey. Now, this is really interesting, and it's kind of odd. But let's look at these Okay, go back to Luke chapter 9. I had you turn to 10. Well, 10, in just one chapter earlier, just one verse, Jesus said to the 12 apostles, take nothing. Talk about packing light. Take nothing for the journey. Don't take staffs. Don't take a stick that you're going to walk around. I guess, you know, people like to take sticks. I saw a guy yesterday when I was out walking in the beautiful, sunny, warm day yesterday. It was glorious. I saw a guy with a big stick. He had his dog. He had his granddaughter traipsing behind him. She said, hello. And I said, hello. And she had a big, he had a big stick. Well, you know what? Because we're by that forest, and sometimes coyotes, Jeff, not wolves, but coyotes come out of the forest, and they're hungry. And, you know, it's either you or the dog or your granddaughter, and you better have a big stick. You know that, I think it was Theodore Roosevelt who said, walk softly and carry a big stick. Well, when I was growing up, I was reading this one humor magazine. It's a funny magazine for kids, and it said, he didn't really say that. He said, walk softly from the kitchen and carry a big sticky, gooey ice cream sundae. That's what they said that he really said. But anyway, so take nothing for the journey, neither staffs nor bag. So no traveling bag over your shoulder, nor bread, nor money. Ouch, no money. You're going to go over to that city over there, James and John. You can't take any of these things. And do not have two tunics. You know what? I can imagine some of those guys are going to throw on. Those are those long, like, kind of, you know, the robes. They throw on a long tunic, and they put another one on, and they're going, like, with two of them on. He says, no, I don't want you to take two. I want you to pack very lightly. What about chapter 10? Okay, here's where I had you turn. After these things, the Lord appointed 70. Like I said, sometimes 72, it says. No big deal. 70 others also sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. So obviously he filled them in. James and John, or they already went, the 12, maybe they were part of the 70, I don't know. But he says, okay, Joe and Jack, you're going to go to this city. Doug, you and Damascus, you're going to go to this city, so on and so forth. So he's telling them, sure, where he's going to go, because he's telling them where he was about to go. Verse 2, then Jesus said to them, and this is quoting Jesus, the harvest truly is great. We've got a lot of work to do, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray or ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Okay, it's not going to be easy. People out there aren't going to like you. You're like a lamb. You're innocent. You're vulnerable. You're going out on my behalf. But there's people out there that hate your guts. They hate you. They hate what you stand for. Carry neither, here he goes again, telling them what not to take. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals. Don't even take an extra pair of sandals. But Lord, what if I snap one of my sandals and it's broken? I'm going to be walking around on one sandal. Don't worry. Just take one pair. Listen to me. I'm going to teach you something. Listen to me, Jesus says. Don't take extra sandals. And as you're walking, don't greet anyone along the way. He had a purpose. He said, look, keep going to where I sent you. Don't get hung up for a half a day over here because somebody wanted to buy you lunch. Okay? Don't get hung up so you're there for 4 hours and then you're not there when I told you to be there. So he's got all these instructions. Hey, just like the airlines, the trains, the buses, even when you drive. Hey, don't moms and dads have instructions for their kids when they go on a road trip? You get in a car, they're like, okay, sit down, put the... I was listening to this one comedian on Facebook. And he's about 62, 65, somewhere in there. Big, great big white guy. And he's like, I don't even know his name. But anyway, he's sitting there and he's talking about when he was growing up. And he said, man, when I was growing up, they didn't even have seat belts in the car. He said I'd be running around in the back seat. And he said, my mom would tell me to sit down. And then sometimes she'd jam the brakes on and suddenly I'd be in the front seat. And he said, anyway, and I'm like, wow, that is so true. There were no seat belts. And man, I remember that. My dad bought we had a family of six, and in 1967, he bought a Volkswagen for a family of six. Three of us in the back seat, three in the front. My mom's holding my brother, no seat belts. She's holding him on her lap. Thank God my dad was a safe driver, I guess, because if it was like me, he probably would have gone through the windshield on several occasions, you know, slamming the brakes on, you know, and something, not paying attention. Boom! And he's out there somewhere. Where'd Patrick go? Where'd he go? Okay. All right, so he's telling him what not to take. When we go on road trips, here's things to do, here's things not to do. All right? So what do we got here this morning? Okay, the Lord talked to the 70. And you know what? The Lord desires for us as well. As we go out, and this is what we've been sharing with you, we are to be the receptacles of God's love. We're supposed to be the jars, the treasured, the vessels with the treasure in them of God's love. Ordinary clay pots carrying gold, silver, and precious stones to a lost and a hurting and a needy world, everybody. God's counting on us. Without Him, we can't. Without us, He won't. Don't forget that. Without you and I, Jesus isn't going to come down and do for us what He's told us to do. But you know what? He gives us in this passage these lessons through the apostles and through the 70. Why not take all these things? See, this is you and I in the today. We're to be out ministering to other people, okay? The Lord desires for us not only to carry His love and grace to others, but listen, He desires for us to have success at doing it. And listen, let me ask you this. If He tells us not to do things and we don't listen to Him, are we going to have success? What if the apostle said, hey, I don't know about you. Jesus said, don't take anything. Don't take this, and don't take this, and don't take this. Don't take money! He's crazy. And you do it your way. Listen, are you going to have more success for God or less success for God? Ah, and this is what he's hitting us with this morning. And so, what I'd like to speak to you on this morning, there's a little guy with his little backpack. They didn't even get to take a knapsack. They didn't even get to take that. But I'm just showing you the benefits of packing lightly as we do God's kingdom work, okay? The benefits of packing lightly. There's a reason Jesus gave these odd, and by the way, why put them in the Bible? Why with all the things? God could have put in the Bible the things that Jesus said to them in the sense of, hey, I want you to be doing this, and I want you to be saying this. And what does Luke put in there? Luke's real detailed. Why does Luke put in there? Oh, yeah, don't take sandals. Don't take a backpack. Don't take money. Now, that sounds so strange, but God's got a purpose. We're going to look at two lessons this morning as to why he gave those things, why we should pack lightly, quote unquote. We're going on a different trip. We're on a mission trip for God. Why should we be packing lightly? And that's what we're going to talk about. Let me pray, and then we'll get right into this. All right, everyone? Father, once again, we come before you, Lord, and I'm here to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. And Father, I need your grace. I need your strength. Lord, sometimes, Lord, we just get too comfortable. And Lord, I do as well, Lord. And so we ask that your Spirit would stir us today, that we would get over the sin that so easily besets us, the weights that so easily ensnare us, Lord, that we'll overcome them and we'll listen to the Spirit of God and do God's bidding. Help us, Father. Help us today. And we pray it in your precious name and for your sake, Father. Amen. All right. Now again, you know, has anybody in here ever moved from one apartment to another? Have any of you moved from one house to another? Have any of you moved from home to a dormitory? We've all moved. Every single person in this room. We've gone from this place to this place. You won't believe this. Sometimes it's very difficult. You know, you get tired and you get worn out. The boxes fall on top of you. It's hard to move around. And guess what I saw this week? A guy in New Hampshire? No kidding. Can you see that? Okay. Let's see. Mike, can you shut all those switches right there? Hit those switches. I want them to see this. It's kind of hard to see because it's... Okay, that's better. Okay, sorry to turn off the lights. We'll turn them back on. But that guy was going down the highway in New Hampshire. He's moving. He couldn't get it all in. So he said, okay, you know what? I could get some on top of it. Well, it's not only on the top. It's on the back. It's hanging down. He's got a 32-inch TV there hanging on the side of the car. And the police see this. Now, hey, everybody, what's the problem with this? It's unsafe. That guy, if he's going 70, hey, listen, if a table falls off of that thing or some kind of exercise machine that you're walking on, that falls in the middle of the highway, you hit that doing 70, or something flies off of it, that piece comes through the windshield and hits you in the face going 50 miles an hour, that's not cool. So they pull this guy over right away. They have his car towed, and then they hand him They ticketed him for negligent driving, unsafe on the highway. And they should, because, hey, listen, how many of you going down LBJ, going down George Bush, going down the different highways, 75, you've been driving, and then somebody's got a pickup truck, the wind sweeps something, a box full of something out of it, it's right in front of you, you've got to swerve, you might run into somebody trying to miss that. Hey, horrible things happen because of craziness and even because of not packing lightly, okay? Not packing lightly enough. Last week, as we were studying together, I told you last week that Jesus said to his followers and to you and I, go your way. That's the first lesson. Folks, we're not to live this life on earth and just waking up, going to work, coming home, going to bed. Waking up, going. That's not what God put us on earth for primarily, though that's one huge thing. Because how you work, or how you, if you're retired in your neighborhood, how you interact with your neighbors and everything, how you do that makes a huge impact on people's lives and their hearts and everything. But I'm just saying, God didn't save us so that we would just exist. That we would just exist. He wants us to get up with this kind of spirit in us, the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of Jesus. Lord, who do you have for me to bless today? Who do you have for me to touch today? Who do you have for me to pray for today? Who? And you know what? We, as God's people, listen, everyone, as we get nearer and nearer and nearer to the return of Christ, we've got to be ramping it up more and more and more, that we get more in tune with this world around us. Because it's not getting easier, per se, to share the good news with others. It's actually getting more difficult. Because now people have no point of reference. Some people in our country, you might even say, hey, you know, can you tell me what you think about Jesus? And they'll say, well, who's that? There are actually people that if you ask that question to, they'll say, I'm sorry, Jesus? Folks, we got our work cut out for us. But guess what? God didn't have us born in 1800 or 1900. He had us born in this era because he has something for you and I to do now. And by the way, I'm glad that I wasn't born like in 1200 AD. I really like technology. I really like automobiles. I really like going on the magic carpet ride every once in a while where I get to sit on a, I don't want to desecrate the Lord's table. But I really enjoy sitting on the magic carpet ride. I'm flying at 36,000 feet. Wow, I'm in a chair that's going to take me from Dallas to Los Angeles in 2.5 hours. Woo-hoo! You know, okay, that's pretty awesome. It's better than getting on a donkey and taking like 8 months to get there, and then you're half dead by the time you get there. You know what I'm saying? We're living in a wonderful era, but you know what? There's negatives. Now, guess what? We don't have houses that people, like in the old days, my grandma's house had a big old porch on the front. And people in the neighborhood on Sunday afternoons, after they got their nap, after they ate, they overate at lunch. Paulus sausage and sauerkraut. Okay, they ate all that. They got too sleepy. They sleep. They come out. Everybody was on their porch, and we would go up and down. There's bikes and kids running all over the neighborhood, and everybody's sitting on their porch, and they're shaking. Hey, how you doing there, fella? Hey, now we've got our castles, and we got our drawbridge, the garage door opener, and we go in, and we don't even have to talk to any, and we get in there. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, so it makes it more difficult, okay? You know, yesterday, I'm walking all over Richardson. I walked for an hour and 10 minutes, something like that. I'm walking all over. Beautiful. Perfect weather. Perfect. You can't get any better than like 64. I mean, it's just like absolutely perfect. The sun is warming my body and the breeze is blowing. It's just perfect weather. And guess what? I saw one kid, and that little girl was with a babysitter or an older sister. And they're on there. They were on the little things. Yeah, scooter. Man, not what a motor, but they were having to do this number. Okay, a manual scooter. Okay. You know, I would have expected to see kids all over the place, but guess what? No, they're inside of the castles, with their faces buried in a computer or a game or something. And that's the way it is today. It's not like it was 20, 30, 50, 80 years ago. It's not the same. So we got some issues that we need to deal with. And you know, Jesus told these people, I don't want you to take any money, okay? I don't want you to take any sandals. By the way, that's a sandal that was unearthed. It's ancient. Might be from the time of Jesus. An ancient sandal. Don't I want you taking any bags with you that you could fill up with goodies and all kinds of things? Snacks. You're not taking anything. Lord, how am I going to get a place to stay? I got that covered. How am I going to eat? Got that covered. How am I? Okay, he's doing something here, everybody. Hey, because God, unlike you and I wouldn't encourage you to do this if you're going to go to Italy. We're not taking nothing. We're just going to get on the plane, Kelly, you and I. Yeah, the clothes on our back. We're not even going to take money or credit cards. We're just going to go, and when we get there, somebody will be there, and they'll let us stay with them. We'll get to know them. Okay? Now, see, since God's moving the chess pieces, he could say to his apostles and to the 70, you go, and when you get there, I'm going to move the chess pieces. Somebody's going to be there to feed you. Somebody's going to be there to take care of you. Somebody's going to be there to help you, to wash your tunic if need be. You got the idea. He's going to take care of them. So this leads us to our first lesson today. I'm giving you two. Number one. If we are to be redemptive in our relationships, again, you remember what that means? Remember lifeguard. Remember rescue. When God redeems us, he rescues us. By the way, redeem is a word to pay that means to buy you out of the slave market. Jesus said you were slaves to sin, and what I did on the cross is I redeemed mankind. I bought, I paid the price so they could go free. Now, by the way, if a person doesn't want God's freedom, he doesn't force it on them. I don't want you, God, and I don't want your miserable freedom. No problem. You can do what you want to do, but not without some problems down the road. God gave all humans free will, and that's why most people do this to God. Jesus said, few there be that find me. Most people say, I am God. I'm the Lord. I make the decisions. I control my life. I'm on my own throne. Who said that? Somebody in the Bible said something like that. I will be like the most. Who said that? Oh, Satan. So if we're going to be rescuers in our relationship with the unsaved, there will be things that our Lord asks us to leave behind. Not clothes and food and money and all that kind of stuff. No. What are the things that he's going to ask us to leave behind? Okay. Well, He's going to say, I want you to leave behind any things that are going to be a hindrance and not a help. He says, Jesus said to his disciples, what I'm calling you to, taking all those things are going to hinder you. Here's why. Because when you take what God doesn't want you to take, you're hindering your faith in God. He was teaching. Listen, here's what we take home from this. He was teaching his followers faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He's teaching them, listen, trust me. Trust me. And you know what? We have to apply that to our lives today. That doesn't mean that when we go on trips, we don't take any money. What it means is, just like they had to have faith in God to be redemptive people, you and I need to have faith in God. Well, Lord, I would go over and say something kind to that person, but they're never going to listen to you. Listen to me, everybody. I was just thinking about this morning, is that when I was unsaved and I was a teenager, listen to me, 17 years old, 18 years old, I had no idea. I had no idea that I was that close to dying and going to a devil's hell. No idea. You know why? Because growing up, what I was taught was this. Hey, listen, if you're a good person and you do the things that they tell you to do at church, you be good and kind and loving, and, you know, if you're going to steal, don't take all of it. No, they didn't teach me that. But anyway, we kind of thought that way, though. But what I'm saying is this, everybody. I thought what they had told me was right. There's going to be a giant scale with God, and he's going to put you on the scale. And as long as your good outweighs your bad, everything will be fine. That's what I thought. Am I ever glad? Hey, listen, I had long hair. And I'm glad at work I looked unusual. I'm glad these guys at work came up to me and shook my hand. First of all, just them coming to me and shaking my hand, listen to me. They came up to me the first day of work. Hi, I'm Jim Blaylock. I'm John Barricklow. I'm Terry Angel. I'm Keith Lockwood. These are all guys I worked with. They're shaking my hands. I'm like thinking to myself, wow, did you guys drink a lot of coffee today? Why? Who am I? I was thinking, why are you so happy to see me? Just that. They were already becoming redemptive people just by greeting me. Because you know what? When I was growing up, people didn't greet one another up in Chicago. You'd walk by some person and you'd say, get out of the way or something. You know, it wasn't cool. And so what I'm saying is that I'm so glad people had concern for me. And then they began to give me little booklets to read. And then they began to talk to me and interact with me. And you know what? In 2 weeks, I went from the guttermost to the uttermost because of the Lord Jesus, his drawing me to himself. Listen, you might look at somebody and think there's no way, and guess what? They may be the very ones that'll be the next Apostle Paul, the next Lydia, the next Deborah, the next virtuous woman. You and I have no idea. So you know what we got to do? Pack lightly and trust in God. When I was growing up, after I got saved, my pastor had a daily radio show. And you know how we always ended that show? Be kind to everybody, because everybody's having a tough time. Well, that's good advice. Now, some people, it's really tough to be kind to, but it still holds. Okay? So the things that we're going to be leaving behind today aren't material things. What we're going to be leaving behind is this. We're going to be leaving behind this thinking. Well, of course, our sins and things, you know, we know that. But our thinking that, hey, I can't do this. You know, I can't be a witness for God. Every one of you can be a witness for God in your own special way. Even if it's only just being kind and gracious to a person around you. So in the back of their head, like I did, think, wow, that's really unusual. I said, in my brain, I was thinking, that's really unusual. Because not just one, I had people lining up. Hey, I'm so, hey, how you doing? A whole group of people. I'm like, whoa, what planet did you guys just get off of? You know, what spaceship did you just come on? Because it was strange to me. But you know what? When we are like Jesus, the world that's used to getting beat up by other people, they meet somebody that's kind, you become a redemptive person. And you leave behind things that'll hinder you. I can't do this. Yes, you can, by God's grace. Without him, we can't. Without you, he won't. Okay? That's the first lesson here. Now, lesson two. When we leave things behind and begin to trust in God, it helps us in four ways, very quickly through each of these. Number one, letter A. It helps us when we leave things behind, it helps us to become more humble. Okay? This brings a serious attitude adjustment to us when we leave things behind. When we just go out and say, Lord, I'm just going to do anything I can, Lord. Okay? For some of you, it means actually sharing from the Bible how to tell another person how to be saved. For others of you, like I said, it's baking a plate of cookies. It's mowing a lawn. It's repairing a car. You know, years ago, we used to, when Pastor Jeff was still here, we got the ball rolling, and we had this on Saturdays where people, single moms, could come to our church and get their oil changed for free. The church would cover the cost of the oil, and men in the church would do. Those are the kind of things. By the way, you know, I read something this week, and I said, you know what? We should figure out how to do that at Ridgepoint. It'd be work, but don't we all want to come together in this, come together as God's servants and think of ways that we can reach out and touch this world? You know what I thought of? Why don't we, and listen, I'm not putting anything in concrete right now. I'm just thinking. Why couldn't we collect good food items throughout the month? And every Sunday we'd have a box where you could come and drop food items in there. And I mean not just like drop a can of tuna once a month, okay? I mean you're getting serious, and when you go shopping, you say, hey, I'm going to spend $10. I'm going to spend $15. I'm going to spend $20 for the food pantry at church. And I mean you get serious. Hey, what if every family brought $20 of groceries a month and brought it to the church? And then we got a bunch of people week by week that are organizing it, bagging it. And then on one Saturday, we just had a great big grocery bag, you know, like that tall with handles on top. And say it had like maybe $40 or $50 of food in it. And we could have people come by and we could pass those out and start doing that once a month and start getting their addresses and building a relationship. Folks, there's no other way of bringing people to Jesus than by being Jesus to them. So my wheels are turning. I'm looking, I'm thinking, I'm praying. God brought that across. Why can't we do something like that? Well, we could, but not if the same little group that might be doing this and this and this, like if you say, okay, the praise and worship team could do that. Now, I want to be in on it, but what I'm saying is if it's always somebody else's job, it won't happen. We got to get volunteers, and we got, you know, so on and so forth. What a great way. But this makes us humble. Okay, we leave things behind. We don't take the things with us that Jesus said don't take with you. You start thinking of ways you could reach out, and you got to be humble because Jesus is saying, okay, watch. If they had money, if they had food, if they had snacks, if they had extra clothing, and they were going into these neighborhoods back in Jesus' day, oh man, these pagans, these pagans, we're going to tell them the truth, and they're going to listen to us. No, they're not going. It's an attitude adjustment. You get humble all of a sudden. You know, they go in there and say, hey, we better be nice to these people, or we're not going to have anywhere to sleep tonight. Now, God's going to make a way, but not if we're arrogant and saying, yeah, you bunch of pagans, I don't even want to be here. I don't even want to talk to you, but Jesus told me to do it. No, it changes your attitude. You get humble. So you trust in God. You see what I'm saying? They had to go humbly or else they wouldn't have been fed or all the other things, okay? When it comes to outreach, get this, everybody. When it comes to outreach, when it comes to other people, attitude is just as important as aptitude. Okay? Aptitude's this, your brain, your smarts. Attitude, your spirit, your spirit. Let me ask you this, everybody. Let me ask you. If you were to say, Pastor Bob, I'm a selfish person. I'm always thinking about me, myself, and I. Would you say you're on that end of the spectrum? Or would you say, no, I'm on the other end. I'm always trying to think of ways that I could be a blessing to other people around me. Even if it's just a kind hello. Even if it's a, hey, you know what? People must think I'm nuts. I'm out there walking yesterday. You know, I got this Fitbit from the insurance company, you know. They're paying me to do this. They're paying me to walk every day. So I get $3 a day when I do everything they tell me. And then over a year, I get $1,000 toward my deductible. So I'm out there, yeah, I'm getting my $3 today. So I'm out there walking, and I'm waving. People are coming by in cars. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? They're like, who is that? You know, because you know what? Maybe one day they'll actually meet me. Maybe they'll be walking. Oh, yeah, you're that crazy guy. It's always waving to us. But they don't really think that. They think that there's something different about me. Because everybody else is, get out of the way. You know, move over. Walk on the grass. I've got a dog. Okay, your attitude is just as important as your aptitude. Okay, what else does this, we become more genuine. Okay, and I'm going to have to kind of go quickly here. Won't be able to say everything I wanted to say, but oh, I love this. And you all know this verse. You can barely see it down there on the bottom maybe, but we have this treasure. We got the gospel. We've got Jesus. We've got the Holy Spirit. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's our bodies. We've got treasure. In some of the new Bibles, it says clay pots, earthen vessels. We've got this treasure, gold, silver, precious stones, whatever, in clay pots. Hey, does any of you know those orange pots you buy to put flowers in? They're not really pretty, are they? They're just ordinary. They're not gold. They're not like gold covered with gold. They're just ordinary. And you know what? We've got something in us, but we're just ordinary. We have this. Why is that? Why doesn't God want us to go out like, you know what? I don't go out to talk to people about Jesus and put on white pants and a white suit coat. I don't even own white pants and a white suit coat. I think the last time I wore that was at my wedding. But anyway, you don't go out like that and put on a big yellow shirt and then let your collar hang out like the 70s. Why? Because we're earthen vessels. I'm not trying to go out to impress people. I'm going out because I've got something in me that I want to share with others. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? That the excellence of the power. We need power to do this for God. May be of God and not of us. If we're trying to impress, no, we need to be genuine. Okay? I don't put on a breadboard. You know those signs you put over your head and then they drop in the front and back? You have a breadboard. I am the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. No, Jesus said, if you're the light of the world, let your light so shine that men would see your good deeds, your good works. Do good works. Then they'll see the treasure that's inside of you. If you're just standing out there like a kook, I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. That doesn't help people, okay? That just makes them say, that guy's crazy, okay? It's different from waving and being kind. Hey, how you doing? That's different. But when you have a board, you're trying to do God's work the wrong way. We don't need blimps. We don't need blimps flying around Dallas. Jesus is the way, the truth. Okay, look. Years ago, you remember, I don't know if it's under this that I have this, but do you remember, oh, I don't even have it on here. I thought I had a picture of it. It got lost. But I had a picture of the black billboards. You remember those? They were all over Dallas. Don't make me come down there. God. Don't make me come down there. If you keep using my name in vain, I'll just make you wait in traffic longer. God. I loved them. But I'm a saved man. My question is, you know what? And only eternity will tell. But that guy spent millions of dollars. He was anonymous. Nobody knows who did it. He spent millions of dollars to do all those, and it made me wonder. That's a lot of money, and I wonder if any people got saved because of those. Now, I would hope that they did, but I don't know. But you know what I'm saying? way better than millions and millions of dollars of billboards? Are the genuine and the humble people of Ridgepoint saying, I'm going to let my light shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Not like Pastor Bob does, because he's a blabbermouth. That was Ralph Cramden off The Honeymooners.
Okay.
You have to be 90 to know that anyway. Brother Bob likes to, okay, but I'm not going to do it like him. I'm going to do it in my own special way. That's right. That's right. He's got it. You're talented in a special way. Next quality, we have to become more realistic. And what do you mean by that, Pastor Bob? I mean that we don't do it, and I got ahead of myself again, through blimps and through different things like that. You know what? I wish I could put a sign on the church that says, come learn how to know that you're going to heaven when you die this Sunday, 10:30. You know what? That's going to get nobody to come in. That's going to do no good. 10,000 people a week will drive by it. You know what? And they'll look at a building and say, that's scary. I don't know one person in that place. Now, you might get somebody, but it's very rare. The way that people will get interested in Jesus is by your genuineness and your being realistic, which is being realistic means, hey, I've got to, you know, not try to bamboozle people and try to get clever. I just need to be real. I just need to be like Jesus, okay? This verse, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, okay, we've got examples from the Old Testament. All of these great people in the Old Testament, farmers, ranchers, women, men, children, all kinds of different people, they're in God's heavenly hall of fame. Since we're surrounded by this so great a cloud of amazing witnesses, let us, you and I, the writer of Hebrews and God's people, let us lay aside every weight. Jesus says, pack light. Pack light. Don't be carrying through life. Well, I got 8 TVs and 22 computers and 8 iPads and 6 phones. And you know what? Hey, young people, you know what? Your phone is way too heavy. You know what? You need to do away with that sometime and get in God's Word. And lay that phone aside. You've played enough games. Do some things. Jesus said, love me with all of your mind. Get some scripture in here. You know, when I got saved when I was 18, within a few years I had memorized, maybe 2 or 3 years, I memorized upwards of 1,000 verses in the Bible as a teenager. And I still remember a lot of them. A lot of them. Lay aside every weight. Maybe the television's away. Maybe a hobby's away. Whatever it is. We need to lay some things aside. And the sin. Notice not the sins. In the book of Hebrews, what's the sin? You go back to Hebrews 11:6 in the chapter before this. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith. Lay aside the sin that so easily besets you. The sin. What is it? Doubt. I can't do it. I can't do it. No way, no how. I'll never do it. Hey, listen. We all have a different part. Some people plant seeds. Some people throw better soil. Some people water. And then some people, when it grows, they get the fruit off of it. They harvest. Everybody, you know what? We could all be doing all four of those things at one time or another. Sometimes I'm planting a seed. Sometimes I'm watering a seed that's been planted. Sometimes I'm taking the fruit off the tree, leading the person to Christ, actually. But you know what? We need to be doing all those things simultaneously. Some people you talk to, man, they're like, man, I want to hear, like the guy on the telephone from India that I was talking to not too long ago, a couple weeks ago. He's all ears. He says, okay, I'm at the website you told me to go to because we're waiting for the computer to do something to get fixed. It takes 8 minutes. He's like, okay, yeah, I'm already at that website. You can be sure. In India. So you get the idea. Lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares you, lack of faith, doubt, and let us run. You got to have endurance. You know what? We're not in a 100-yard dash. We're in a marathon. Our lives. You know what? We're running a marathon. You can't run full speed, but you keep going with endurance. You keep fighting. You keep going through the troubles. Your legs start hurting. Pastor, I don't like doing this because it hurts sometimes. I know, but you keep going. You keep running. But Pastor, I don't know. I can't. I'm getting my miles today, too. It's going on my phone. Anyway, but Pastor, I don't. You get the idea, okay? You know, all these things are happening to you and they're happening to me. Why? Because we have an enemy that's trying to stop us. But we keep running the race that's set before us. And how do we do it? Selfishly? No, looking unto Jesus, the author, the beginner, and the finisher, the completer, the maturer, the one who makes us mature, our faith mature, actually, gives a strong faith in God. So, folks, there's so many lessons right there. I could preach 5 sermons. You could do 1 lesson on lay aside every weight. I could do another sermon on the sin which so easily besets you and I. I could do another sermon on run the race with endurance. Don't give up. Don't give up. Hey, folks, you know what? I've been a pastor at Ridge Point since 1997. And guess what? I haven't given up. I've had hundreds of people give up. They boogied. They didn't like what I'm saying. They don't want to listen to me. They leave. They go other places where it's easier. But you know what? I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. Why? Because I'm running the race with endurance. Okay? Now, if you want me to leave, just let me know. Okay? If you ever get the idea as a church family, you know what, Pastor Bob, you've been around here too long. All right? That's fine. Give me the boot. All right? And then God will open up another door somewhere. But what I'm saying is this. I'm trying to set an example for you. We don't give up. We keep fighting. We keep going forward, looking unto Jesus. That's the only way to do it. You'll never be what you ought to be without Jesus. You're looking at him. You're gazing on him in the Word of God consistently. You're listening to it. You're reading it. You're meditating it. You're letting it and memorizing it. Let me close by asking you 2 questions and then a tiny story at the end. The shortest story I've ever told. Number 1, what's hindering you today? What's hindering you from being a redemptive Christian? Think. What's hindering you from making a plate of brownies for someone that you don't know very well? What's hindering you from mowing a neighbor's lawn? What's hindering you from raking something? What's hindering you for helping? Fixing something in their house? What's hindering you from just greeting somebody nearby you at work, in your neighborhood, and getting to know them better? What's hindering? What are you carrying with you that Jesus says, hey, leave that at home. Trust in me. Trust, say it with me. Trust in me. Trust in me. That's what Jesus is saying to us. Trust me. I'll use you. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Secondly, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So what's hindering you? Second question, what's weighing you down from being the witness God wants you to be? It's just phrased a different way. What's weighing you down? Weights. You know what I've noticed? If I've had to carry boxes upstairs, like Christmas, when you pack everything up and you're taking it back in the attic, and you know I've got flights of stairs to get up in my house, and I'm carrying that, suddenly I don't weigh 160. Suddenly I weigh 185. And I'm like, woo, my legs aren't made to be 185. I'm going up those stairs, and I'm feeling what it, you know what I'm saying? Those are weights. I don't want to carry those around with me because you know what? It's hard. It's hard. And that's why Jesus says, yeah, I know it's hard. Pack lightly. Pack lightly. Okay, final story. One Sunday afternoon, a Christian man and his 5-year-old son, true story, Christian man and his 5-year-old son are tooling down the expressway, and they look out, and there is a cemetery, and near the road, there's a freshly dug grave. So all the dirt is outside the hole in the ground, and his 5-year-old son sees that, and this is what the 5-year-old son says to his Christian dad. He says, look, Dad, one got out. Look, Dad, one got out. Here's what I want to close with. 2,000 years ago, everybody, one got out. And we're not doing this in our own strength. It was His mighty power that raised Him from the dead. God's power. We have God. Let's thank God for that, His power. We got God's power, not our power. God's power. All right. All right. I want you to take that home with you and chew on that. We're not doing this alone. I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you for your people. Thank you for their interest today, Lord, for their attention. How I praise you for that. And Lord, oh Lord, we're all looking to you this morning. Lord, we want to see something great happen in our midst. We want to see something mighty. This is the year of the impossible. This is the year that we're looking to you. So at the end of the year, there will be people that can get up and testify that we've brought them to Christ, or that we're in the process of bringing them to Christ. Or Lord, maybe somebody's been baptized and they're shouting hallelujah because they're following Jesus now because of Ridge Point. But Lord, Lord, we're scattered all over the Metroplex and beyond. And Lord, we just ask you to knit our hearts in unity, knit our hearts in faith, to be on our knees, and to be asking, Lord, we want to do what you want us to do in 2020. We want to do not our own will, Father, not what we want for Ridge Point Fellowship. We're asking that through us, you will do what you want. What you want, Father. That's what we're asking today. And with our heads bowed and eyes closed, right now, what's the weight? Think about it. What's the weight you're carrying that you need to be laying aside? Or maybe you're a doubter. Maybe that's the sin. It's not just a weight. A weight isn't sinful. It's just dumb. But the sin that so easily besets you, maybe you just doubt. You don't think you can do anything. Right now, you need to repent and say to Jesus, Jesus, I'm so sorry for carrying that through me in my lifetime. And right now, I'm repenting, Lord. And I'm saying with you, me and God, make a majority. God and I make a majority. Father, how we long to see your power and might, Lord. And so, Lord, this week, open doors for us to be clay pots that people can peer into and see beautiful treasure, Jesus. And Lord, we ask this in your precious name for your sake.